Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So I spoke a couple of weeks ago on a few thoughts regarding Christ and the four Gospels. And I have a few short thoughts I can perhaps share this morning. As I mentioned before, we can sort of see the four Gospels in the light of a stage where there are four lights shining on the stage, on the one scene. So we have four different views. The four different views on the gospel, the four different views on the stage. It's all one stage, but four different, looking at it from four different perspectives. On that stage, there was a master of ceremonies. His name was John the Baptist. It had to be a special person because he was introducing Messiah to Israel. He had a very important job, and so he was a very important person. There was none like John the Baptist. So he did his part. He introduced Messiah to Israel. And after he had done this introduction, he left the stage. So what we have on the stage is the star performer, Christ. And so we see here in Mark's gospel, he is seen so often as the servant. So I have a few thoughts here I might be able to share with you regarding him. His name being John Mark. His mother's name was Mary, as we see in Acts chapter 12. It doesn't say that Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark, but the men who study this very well are in agreement with this. It was probably possibly the first gospel that was written, if not one of the earliest books that was written. The theme of John's gospel tells us the word became flesh. And Luke's gospel tells us of his birth and growing up in wisdom and stature. Mark's gospel tells us that the Lord Jesus is presented as a servant of Jehovah. First Peter 2 and 21 says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Beautiful verse telling us about Christ. So in Matthew's gospel, we see testing Israel. In Mark's gospel, we have serving Israel. In the gospel of Mark, there is an absence of all form and ceremony. His service is informal and answers occasions as they would arise. So in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is going about doing good. Hence, in the Gospel of Mark, there's no mention of his genealogy, no mention of his royal line, no mention of the details of his virgin birth, of his early life, simply as a son of God. Mark is also one of the shortest Gospels, yet we have here fine details of the life and service of the Lord. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have here painted a full-length picture of the sovereign, but in Mark, we see his submissiveness as a servant. Lesson for us, he is a great example as we learn his ways and would be like him. What was Christ's attitude as we see it, even in Mark's gospel? Well, in 1 Peter 2 and 23, it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed it himself to him that judgeth righteously. Contrast that with today's society in which we live. Our society today would be a sovereignty mentality. It would have an individualism mentality. In other words, I'm number one and you're number two. Christ took the humble place, meek and lowly. We are to consider others better than ourselves. So that's part of our society today that we see. I'm number one and you're number two. I'm just comparing that with Christ and when he was here on earth. When we get into an argument, or when anyone gets into an argument, I would dare say that both sides lose. Yeah, one person might have the final word, but both sides lose because he just made himself an enemy. Humility always looks good on us, and pride always looks bad on us. Just little thoughts about that. When we look about ourselves and we look about as we walk from one day to the next, even in our local, in our society in which we live. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Luke 16 tells us, it tells us no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what does mammon mean? You cannot serve God and mammon. We've heard that verse so many times, haven't we? So what does it mean? Might it mean greed or money? So we have to be aware of who we're serving. And some people will tell us that they're serving themselves. Well, the Bible says we're serving one of two masters. So which one are we serving? Just something There's something there that we can think of from Luke 16. All this sounds good on paper, doesn't it? But we need the Lord's help in carrying it out. It tells us in Romans, perhaps the verse in the book of Romans, the highlight in the book of Romans might be Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We all know that verse. It's an easy verse. I beseech you, brethren, I implore you, I beg of you, brethren. That brethren is in there too. He's not above putting himself above anyone else. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So, masters, what master? Who is our master? Who are we serving? Maybe a key verse in the book of Mark might be, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's chapter 10, verse 45. If we were to look at the whole book of Mark, which we're not going to do, but just to give you it's broken down in two parts. I suppose we've been broken down in many parts, but we can look at it from chapters 1 to 10. The work of the servant and his service in the book of Mark is primarily in the area of the Sea of Galilee, in that general area. And part two, or we might have the sufferings of the servant in chapters 11 to 16. And in those chapters, it's basically only a week long of days, his Passion Week in the book of Mark. And that at that time, he was in the general vicinity of Jerusalem. He'd gone a little south. And so he was in Jerusalem and led up to, in those few days, each day leading up to Calvary and the crucifixion. So, looking at the first chapters 1 to 10, I'm just mentioning a few verses here that we read this morning in chapter 1. It talks about, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Beginning of the gospel. And we know the gospel, or the gospel, the word gospel occurs more in Mark than in any other gospels. The theme gospel, of course, is good news concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, his earthly name. For those that, when he was in this earth, for those that were with him and those that spoke with him, they referred to him as Rabbi, which means master, teacher. That's what he was referred to. Today we refer to him as our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, that name Jesus, I understand is the Greek form of the Hebrew, Joshua, which means Jehovah Savior. Christ, the Greek form of the Hebrew, Messiah, which means anointed. So what's this business of anointed mean? Well, when we look in the Bible, there's different people that were anointed. For example, a great high priest, the priests, kings, anointed. When God anoints them, he's given them the ability to carry out their job, their functions. So he gives them the wherewithal to do it and to do it well. So the word Jesus, Joshua, which means Jehovah the Savior, Christ, the Greek form of Messiah, which means anointed. The Son of God definitely is unique, a unique relationship like no other. We know he's the eternal Son of God. We all know that verse in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It's quoted when we come to Matthew chapter 2 and 6 when Herod asked about being born king. So that's a beautiful place there. Whose goings forth had been from of old, from the days of eternity. Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be least among the those of Judah, yet out of he shall he come forth, who is to be king, who's going forth from the days of eternity. For us, we are redeemed and made children of God, so we can render service to God. We may or may not be proud of where we came from. We may or may not be proud of our parents or family members. We may or may not be proud of ourselves for what we've ever accomplished. But we should be proud and not ashamed every day at being a child of God. In this world, we will always be a child of God. Whether we mess up or whether we be faithful in our service. As a son or child of God, our Heavenly Father watching over us, wants a very close relationship with us. So we know that the Bible, I know we can study that there are great men who have a great mind and they can study the Bible and learn so much, and so many of us can't have difficulty with that. But one of the things that the Bible has to do with is relationships, right from Genesis through to Revelation. Relationships, personal relationships between us and God. As I watch or see my grandchildren with their parents, the children so often want to disobey. So I think they must take after their grandmother. No, they take after all of us. Prone to disobey. And we're all that way, aren't we? So, as we go through our little life here, just a little practical thought here. Only as we feed on the Word of God will we be sensitive to our Father's voice and want to obey him, not disobey. So what's the key there? Only as we feed on the Word of God. We live in a day and age where some people are very conscious what they eat, and especially as I'm getting a little bit older, or a lot older, I'm trying to eat a little better and not eat so much junk food, because we all know that junk food's bad for you. Well, if we can apply that in spiritual things, only as we feed upon the Word of God will we be sensitive to our Father's voice. And as children of God, we can obey him. And that's what he expects. So, in chapter 1, verses 2 to 8, we have here preparation of the servant. We have here, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So we have here this John the Baptist, very interesting man. And John's work was to announce the Lord Jesus as Messiah, and the kingdom of heaven as being at hand. In Luke's gospel, we are given details concerning John the Baptist's parents. Now, I'm mentioning here John the Baptist because he's mentioned in all four of the gospels. And like I say, his job was to introduce and to announce to Israel, Messiah, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. So a few thoughts here in John the Baptist. We're given in Luke's gospel the details concerning John's parents. And the angel Gabriel announcing their son John that was to be born even before his conception. So John the Baptist, as an adult, made the official announcement to Israel regarding their Messiah. In verse 2, in the prophets. So he is prophesied in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. In verse 3, this is a quotation, Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So in Malachi, it was prophesied around 400 years before this took place. In Isaiah, it was prophesied over 700 years before this actually took place. And isn't it interesting when we see the different prophecies and how exact they are when it comes to having them fulfilled. So in verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance, etc. So baptism administered by John in the wilderness was a sign of repentance. The subjects confessed their sins. It was a necessary preparation for the coming of the Messiah. But we know also that water baptism is never said to have any saving value. In 1 Peter 3 and 21, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. John's baptism was unto repentance with a view to the forgiveness of sins. Of course, Christian baptism is a public confession of the lordship of Christ by those who are already forgiven. So in verse 5, there went out unto him all the land of Judea and Jerusalem and were baptized. So it shows the success of John's ministry in announcing the coming of Messiah. And of course, Christ would be rejected as Messiah at that time. Interesting thing here about John the Baptist in verse 6. Brings this up. It's an interesting verse. He was clothed with camel's hair, a girdle of skin about his loins, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John appeared publicly with plainness of attire and simpleness of food. He wasn't wearing fancy clothes and a fancy hairdo and indulging with his fancy food. He was simply pointing to Christ and not himself, whether privately as to his food or publicly concerning how he presented himself, the clothes he wore. His ministry was Christ exalting. I'll finish up here real quick. In verses 7 and 8, we have John the Baptist's message. What was his message? It was Christ. It was all about Christ. Christ was a star performer on the stage. It was all about him. That's why we love these hymns we sing. They're all about Christ, not about us. So John the Baptist's message, it was Christ. He exalted Christ, who stands alone. Who would be so foolish to be equal with Christ? And we have Christ's baptism of the Holy Spirit. And David could pray, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Of course, we know today, believers, when we become believers, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I never knew that. When I got saved, I didn't, no idea, but I learned it later on. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, our indwelling by the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you're not your own? Do you not know that? That your body is the temple, or the Greek word is naos, inner shrine, mentioned three different places. The body of the Lord Jesus, our body, and the local church. Interesting.